Let's recapture the magic.
Do you have a live audience there this week?
Hello and welcome to the Two Hosers Photo Show. This is episode 29. For real this time.
I'm confused.
Last week, I kept insisting. Well, you, I think it was you. I blame you.
Okay.
I kept insisting that it was episode 29.
I think I asked you what episode it was, and your response was episode 29. So, yeah, I guess it's my fault.
Worse than that, actually, and if I'm being completely upfront and honest, it was my fault. Don't tell my wife I admitted to being wrong. I did say it was episode 29. You challenged me on it and said, are you sure? I don't think it is. And I was like, man, are you stupid? Of course it is. Yeah. So
and it wasn't.
No, it was not.
Okay.
I mean, if we were counting chronologically, it was episode 28.
I thought maybe it was like, you know, in some hotels, there's no 13th floor.
Correct.
No episode 28.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
But now this, there is an episode 28.
Yeah, we went back and renamed it, renumbered it.
Okay.
So this is episode 29, just for the archivists at home.
All right.
Yeah. So there you go. The
did
end.
Did you introduce yourself?
I did not.
Nobody knows.
Why don't you start?
Nobody even knows who's talking.
This is podcast 101, too. They teach you that first day at podcast school.
to tell the audience who you are?
You do. I'm not even joking. If there is a podcast school, that would be the first thing, is you always introduce yourself. So let's do it now. Who are you?
I am Adam, sitting in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
And that makes me Alan in Tübingen, Germany.
Great.
Okay. Now,
we're off to the races.
If you want to rewind and listen to that beginning again, knowing who we are, it might be more funny.
What's up with episode 29?
Well, what did you shoot this week? Let's start with that. Did you shoot anything?
Camping pictures. We went camping for the first time with our children. I think we'd been camping one previous time when Sarah was really young, but I think we also had the comfort of a camper for that. So this was
now
our
camping.
First...
Do you mean you built a fort in the hotel room in Seattle?
No, we did not. We did go to Washington, though. Not to Seattle, but to Washington. And we camped in Washington State. It was actually a state park. So we tent camped for two nights in a state park with a few friends and their children. So, yeah, that was our big excitement for the weekend. So, of course, I had to take pictures and try to document our adventures.
Right.
That's
and
it.
How did that go?
I think it went pretty well. I did manage to get some good pictures. We spent some time around the campfire. So, of course, you know, the kids roasting marshmallows and there was a day at the beach. So some pictures at the beach, that sort of thing. Of course, I had to capture my wife with the tent because we got a brand new tent. So, oh, yeah, just I guess what you'd expect from a camping trip.
Nice.
Are you a tent camper?
Yeah, we tent camped on our honeymoon. How's that?
Really?
Yeah.
Sounds romantic.
Yeah. It was just out in the backyard. Wanted to save a few bucks.
Yeah.
We camped down in Croatia.
Oh, very nice.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say tent technology has certainly improved from our last tent.
Yeah.
We bought a tent, a brand new tent, just because I figured it was time for an upgrade if we were going to do this. And our last tent was probably a good 15 years old. But our new tent goes up. It literally goes up in a minute. So
really?
It's called an instant tent. And the poles of the tent are actually embedded into the fabric already. So literally you pop it out and then basically you click the bars into place and you're ready to go. That's it.
Wow.
Yeah, awesome.
And disassembly, how does that go?
Just as easy, a minute, down in a minute.
That's the key. To me, the pitching the tent, not a problem because you're the beginning of your weekend. It's probably good weather. It's always good weather, like the first 20 minutes of your trip, of your camping.
Yeah.
And you're excited, man. Like, you're excited about the possibilities of what's ahead of you. Nobody's upset yet. Everybody has showered within the last couple hours.
Yes.
And life is good.
Yes, I agree.
And it's when you're taking it down, and it's the complete opposite of everything I just said. It's yeah. pouring rain. You have sap covering your entire tent, and then the leaves sticking to that sap, and you have you just want to get out of Dodge.
And P.S., tack on a couple of kids to that are ultra patient about yeah. About you know going home and getting things together slowly.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, that but anyways, yeah, it was super easy. So I'm definitely here to advocate the Coleman Instant Tent.
Awesome.
Awesome. Yeah.
Welcome to episode one of This Week in Tent.
Yeah. This tenting weekly.
It's Tent Cast. I would listen to Tentcast.
Probably till episode 3.
Because, you know, it'll surprise you. Because at first you might think it'd be boring. But if they can make a whole podcast out of tent, there must be something to it.
What episode does the bear show up?
Oh, that's early on, of course. And then, but then even that you get into circuses.
Oh, that's right. I didn't even think about that.
No, there's a whole lot of stuff. You know, at weddings sometimes they put that giant white tent up.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, nobody steal this idea, okay? We're going to do Tent Cast starting next week.
All right.
What about teepees and sort of wigwams?
Also forms of tents, I guess.
On the coast, though, you got longhouses, so no teepees on the coast. So that's going to be an issue. You're going to have to travel.
I definitely did. I did notice a little bit of tent envy, though, on the part of our friends that we went tenting with, because you know they were putting up their tent, which was still a pretty nice tent, but was probably 3 or 4 years old and took them probably a good half an hour, especially the difficulty with the fly, because they were, I think it was like an 8-man tent, so it was a big tent, but in order to get the fly up over the tent, our friends that were putting up the tent were how should I say, a little vertically challenged. So it was quite difficult. And rather than help, I sat back, kicked my feet up, and laughed.
Well, as a guy with a new tent is prone to do. Yeah.
I think I did sort of throw it a, hey, do you need a hand there? But I, you know, I think I mumbled it so that he wouldn't take me up on it.
Yeah, I'm just going to have a nap. And if you're not done by the time I wake up,
I'm all over it.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm going to head on down to the store.
pick up another tent.
Yeah, I'm going to go get another tent.
So, should we talk about anything photography related?
Did you take any pictures of the tent?
I told you I took one. Awesome. Wife and tent. So look check on, it out. Look on my the blog. Wife's blog. Yeah.
Awesome.
And I'm guessing you took a few pictures of your kid over the weekend.
I did. That's slowing down a little bit because, quite honestly, she's not as cute.
Oh, she graduated high school yet?
Yeah. She got her GED. I'm not even sure what that joke means, really.
She was too socially awkward to actually attend high school, so you homeschooled her.
Is that what GED maybe? Yeah,
well, it's the equivalent, right? It's the test for the equivalent.
I just assumed because she was so young. But, yeah, I took some pictures of her. I also got hired to take some other baby pictures.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Not really?
No. No, no, no. Babies are not cooperative. Yeah. But we got a few, and I'm going to go back and take a couple more to complete the job because the baby did not participate.
And so you just kind of packed it in and said, okay, enough's enough?
Yeah. They live close, and they're we somewhat know them. So I said, you know what? I'm going to make you guys happy. We'll come back another day.
Just, it was that good.
Yeah. Awesome. Shut her down, Earl.
Awesome. Well, yeah. You got to know when to throw in the towel.
And then I had another photo shoot for some other project. It's a secret and boring, if there's such a thing. Right. But we ended up, I had to shoot with a full white seamless background.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
I saw the picture that that you sent me, so I thought it looked pretty neat.
Yeah, that a little bit of setup, and you're just cooking with gas at that point.
So was that like, you know, when you go into the studio at the bay and they just roll down a gigantic sheet?
Mm-hmm.
That basically what you're dealing with?
Essentially, yeah. You roll it down and you roll it down to the floor and then out. So it's just one long sheet.
Yeah, you stand on. Even sit. Yeah, yeah. Sit or stand on it, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And we put that in a friend of ours' living room, and I lit it up. A couple lights on the background, and then one key light diffused on the main subjects, and that was it. You just have people stand wherever you want. It's like a fantastic light bath, so you're pretty much guaranteed to get a good exposure.
And you have to rent such a thing, or where do you get that sort of?
I rented one, but after renting it, I looked into the cost, and they have plummeted. So I'm probably just going to purchase my own.
And what is one of those things run you?
The stand itself, you can get one for as little as $50, apparently, which I'm guessing is going to be a problem. I'm guessing you're going to be fighting that thing every time you use it.
Right. But
some of them go up to around $280, but there's some that look decent in around the 120, 100-euro-ish range.
And then you buy the different colors as rolls, like, separately.
Right. And so then you can buy the roll, like a roll of super white, that you roll it down, and when people stand on it and you're done, you just cut it off and throw it away.
Right.
So you don't got to clean it or nothing like that.
Right, right.
Wait a second. What did I just say? You don't got to clean it or nothing like that.
I understood what you meant.
Yeah, that's horrible language, though.
Do you want to delete that and try it again?
No, I'm just going to, from here on out, I'm going to speak the kings, okay?
Okay.
Hello, governor.
So was there anything, you know, photography related, any takeaway hints or tips that helped you in that situation?
I just really want to get one of these white backgrounds. It made my life so much easier because oftentimes you're taking portraits, you're trying to build a background and build something interesting in someone's house. And this was just a real simple way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, it
can go with you.
It can go with you. It does. It folds up. It is, I mean, the paper roll is rather long. It's like 10 feet long. So it barely fits in the car. But everything else, the stand folds up really small. So I can't wait. I'll probably end up buying two. One for here and one for Vancouver.
Right.
Because they're that good and that handy, and I don't want to fly with it.
Yeah.
Even though I could, but...
Well, and if you say the cost is that reasonable, why would you?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I've ended up doing. I got, you know, I have my light stands and tripods in each city now.
You're a high roller.
No, lazy. I just don't like carrying them back and forth every time.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, so... Moving on to the photo challenge.
Okay.
I didn't even want to segue that. Just boom.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Get right into it.
What was the photo challenge? Give us a brief reminder.
The photo challenge was to make a magazine cover.
Right. Magazine cover.
You had the option of you could do all the font and stuff like that. But really I was looking for just a photograph for a magazine cover.
Right, which was my intention, and then you sent me your picture, and you had done all that, which then pretty much forced me to do it as well, because I didn't want to come off as the complete slacker.
That's true.
So, thanks for that. That was.
But it worked out, because yours is pretty funny.
Okay. Well, I felt like I had to do something after I saw what you had done.
Let's have a look at yours first, then.
Okay.
We got today's toddler.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about today's toddler, the photo. First of all, before you started, what were you looking to shoot? Like, did you shoot this on purpose?
Yes, because I didn't have a picture after camping that I thought was suitable for a magazine cover. So I looked through and I kind of didn't, for the most part, I really wanted the subject to be looking directly at the camera. Mm-hmm. It just that seemed to be the way, looking at a lot of magazine covers, that looked to be the way most of them were shot, with the exception of, I guess, the tabloids, when they don't know their pictures being taken. Right. But yeah, so I really wanted that head-on shot, and I wanted it to be of one of my kids. I did get a couple of good shots of my friend's kids while we were camping, but I hadn't exactly asked their permission to do this, so I didn't want to have it be of their kids. So I didn't have what I wanted, and therefore I shot it at home on my favorite spot on the couch, where we've got the window light, in this case, to Jack's left. So yeah, I shot it with the intention of making this the cover. Took a few shots, but then I got him eventually to look at the camera. So there you have
it. When you wanted to get him to look at the camera, and you noticed that a lot of men, pretty much, like you said, every magazine does that.
Yeah.
Why do you think they do that?
I think it seems to engage the reader. It sort of grabs your attention.
Absolutely. That's exactly what I wanted to do with a lot of portraits, is I want to grab the attention. I want to engage the viewer of the picture, and that's what the magazines do. They know that very well.
Yeah.
So what kind of other magazines did you look at?
Well, I am a physiotherapist, so in my clinic where I work, we've got Time magazine, we've got People magazine, and then we've got some family stuff. So I pretty much just looked at the magazines we had at work, and basically the picture was I looked at a Canadian family magazine that had pictures of kids and sometimes parents, and most of the time the pictures looked kind of like this. Sometimes the kid's holding a popsicle, sometimes the kid's holding nothing, sometimes it's a toy, but more or less, the picture was a relatively close up with a very phased out background, either photoshopped, as in this case, slightly photoshopped, and I can explain what I did. In other cases, just a really, really shallow depth of field where the background is pretty much blurred into non-existence. So,
and why would that be?
Again, I think just to take away, minimize the distraction. So you want the focus to be on the subject, in this case, my son Jack, or whoever is being photographed. So you want it to be on them as opposed to on the background. So. And also, yep. I guess, because you're talking about with magazines, there's always font on the covers, so it gets pretty distracting when you try to read font that's over top of all sorts of mishmash of different colors in the background.
Yep, that's right. They really like to keep things uncluttered.
Yeah.
So that they can then, I guess, reclutter them. But But in the meantime, keep if you got your Tom Cruise, your Brad Pitt on the cover, they want you to look at that. That's the guy selling the magazine.
Yeah.
But to carry over, when you're making your own portraits, that's what's selling your portrait. Is if you're making a portrait of Jack, you don't want a ton of clutter in the background.
Right.
Unless the portrait is of Jack in his clutter.
Which sometimes is the case, right?
Right. But in most cases, you want the focus to be on the main subject. So yeah, tell me about the photoshopping.
So I basically... did a shot where he's sitting on the couch, as you can see in the foreground, the couch, and again using my sort of window light technique where I've got the exposure compensation set at -2/3 of a stop, and I think I've got the aperture here at a 1.8, because I really wanted just his eyes to be the focus, so I focused on his eyes, and you can see even like his hand and his arms a bit soft. But what I was trying to do is get that, relatively sharp drop off in the background, as far as I wanted to blacken out behind him as much as I could. So he's sitting on the brown couch, and I did it pretty well. But again, the browns were kind of bled into. There was a little like blanket that was sitting in the back corner of the couch that I, again, just forgot to remove, so I didn't like the spot of it. So basically I took the dark browns and then just bled it all together to remove any of that background distraction. So this whole background wasn't far off of that color, but mm-hmm. I just made it all uniform, so when I added the text it would be, again, to minimize distractions.
Gotcha.
So that's it. So I just more or less painted the background all the color that it was anyways.
Did you pick his outfit for him?
No, I did not.
Okay. Well, the subject of my my magazine, I picked his outfit.
Really?
On purpose. I picked the bright colors. Well, Jack's wearing like a bright red shirt.
Yeah.
I thought that might have been on purpose.
No, that's just what he was wearing. I'm not going to try to change a toddler's outfit.
I didn't actually change Paul's outfit either, but he took care of it.
Okay.
But I did request. I asked him to wear I gave him a couple of different colors to wear.
Was he even going bike riding that day, or?
He had just finished bike riding in the Alps.
Oh, really?
Just got back. Yeah, he does a tour every year. Him and a couple of his friends bike ride the actual Alps, not even the Swabian Alps, like I mentioned. Which that's fun. I'll get to that. Remind me to tell you that story because I'll tell it quickly and boring. So, mine. I did the exact same things that you talked about. I wanted to keep it an uncluttered background.
Yeah.
I wanted the subject, in this case, Paul, my father-in-law, to be looking at the camera to engage the reader of the magazine. First of all, Fahrrad is German for bicycle.
Okay.
So that's the title, is Fahrrad.
Is there an actual magazine?
I'm sure there is. I have no clue. I don't know.
Okay.
I just made it up because he was riding his bike. He just gotten back riding his bike, and I thought that's going to be the image I want, is him with his bike. Now, I shot some with his bike in the background, but in fact, that's actually his bike in the background, but it's just too dark and out of focus.
Okay.
To see. But, yeah, so we shot a bunch. He's got like a kind of a cool shed out behind the house, and it was a wonderfully cloudy day. And so I actually brought some lights to shoot with. I shot with off-camera flash.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
It looks exceptionally well lit in his face.
Yeah. So I brought a couple lights to light this with, and then of course the sun came out. Cuz I had something completely in mind that was going to look great, but with the clouds it was no problem. And then the sun came out and ruined my whole plan. So we moved him over a little bit. I moved him into some shade of the tree and used the sunshine. The sunshine is what's lighting the background there.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of creates that out-of-focus sort of broken-up background. And then I just lit him with a flash.
Great.
So there you go. And I picked yellow because it would really pop off the screen, hopefully.
Yeah, I think it does.
And then I made the... When it came time to make the headline or the title, what do you call it? The title of the magazine?
Yes.
Fahrrad is in the I use the color selector and chose part of his jersey to make the font the same color.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That was part of it. So it turns out I was accidentally thrilled because I don't wear a bike helmet, but he does, and he insisted on wearing the bike helmet for the picture, which I was fine with. Especially since I noticed how the light really hit it and kind of shined off it. I loved it.
Yeah, no, I was going to say that's kind of the part of the picture I think I like the most is I just staring at the bike helmet. It looks awesome.
Yeah. So if, you know, I wrote that down and I'm going to use that for future use.
Just put bike helmets on everybody from now on.
Just in general.
Yeah, yeah. Try that with your baby pictures.
One step ahead of you. Yeah.
Also protective for when they bump their head.
I think that's a win-win.
Everybody wins. I don't think I ever told you this, but this is just a side note. We took Jack to get a family baby picture when he was, I don't know, couldn't sit up yet, so I'm going to say 4 months old. And we took him to Sears, and we did a family shot, and they had this little like baby seat. I don't know. Do you have one of these like for pictures, this little kind of baby seat that you can position them with?
I do not.
Anyways, it sits on the floor, and they had it at the Sears photo place. But he was wiggling a bit, and he fell right over on his head mid-photo shoot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, awesome. So,
Did you sue Sears?
Well, it made me think that maybe had he been wearing a bike helmet, that could have been protected. So,
That's something. Or a hockey helmet. Everything helmet related.
Yeah. So he, for the most part, he seems okay. But if not, he did topple over at a young age.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Good to know.
Yeah. Just filling you in there.
All right. Well, any other questions about the magazine cover?
No, I think it looks good, and I think you accomplished this. Could very easily be an actual magazine.
I actually thought that. I was kind of a little bit pleased with myself afterwards because I was fighting the sun and really swearing at the light. And so when we were shooting, I was very, very mad. And I was actually going to take it one step further. The plan, I was going to go and shoot an entire magazine spread. For my own sake, not just to embarrass you or nothing like that.
Yeah. You really felt like you needed a win in a photo challenge, I think.
Actually, it wasn't about the photo challenge, but I just wanted to go out and shoot a bunch of stuff because I was going to get shots of him riding his bike and that. But because I ended up fighting the sun so much and it took me so long to get this one shot, I just abandoned it.
Well, I think that the picture looks great. And the other thing I thought, and again, you know, maybe his dad's he likes this or maybe he doesn't, but wow, does that picture make his beard look gray. Like that gray beard like just pops out. He looks like Santa Claus.
Yep.
So again, well, maybe the light hitting it just kind of in the right way, but
yeah. I think it's the actual gray beard that does it.
Maybe it's the grayness of the beard mixing with the light.
Because his hair is also gray, and that's why I like hanging out with him, because all of a sudden mine looks dark.
Yeah.
Just relative. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So, that's it. I'm actually going to take a lot. The rest of it, I meant to mention, there's no other Photoshopping here. I didn't Photoshop the background. That is, the picture of him is essentially out of the camera.
Great.
And so I will take a little bit of this forward on for when it comes time to making portraits. Okay. I just learned a little bit myself about, you know, building the background and stuff like that. So.
And so how many lights do you got in this setup?
This one's a two lighter. There's a key on him in an umbrella, like in a bounce umbrella, like a silver umbrella.
Yeah.
That's lighting his face. And then there is one, a slight, we call a kicker from behind, that's lighting his left shoulder. I think it's more falling across his chest. I'm not sure exactly where it's going. It gets a little bit up in his left ear.
And the one wouldn't be enough?
The one would be enough. I had two set up because in the cloudy day, I had pre-visioned. I think that's pre-envisioned. I had pre-visioned this photo before we got driving to their house. I knew where I would take it. I knew what it would look like. And I was going to light the shed with a bear speed light, flash.
Yeah.
I was going to create a slash of light across, similar to what we have, what you're looking at right now, just to kind of create like a non-distracting yet broken up background.
Okay.
And then I was going to light him with the one light in the umbrella. Until the sun came out and changed that, the flash didn't matter on the background.
Oh, okay.
And so then it became all about the main light. So.
Okay. Well, good work. I think I'll give you the win here. Although, you know, my titles are much more interesting. So, again, there's got to be some points for that.
Your titles are funny. I started reading them and I thought, oh, those are pretty funny. And then I reread them and I recognized it's told from the point of view of the toddler.
Oh, absolutely.
I didn't catch that the first right away. I guess because I looked at it at like 5 a.m. the first time.
how about the make daddy your bitch 3 easy steps? Like, you know, come on. Love it. That should have been a giveaway.
Yeah, but I feel like every kid knows that though.
Maybe well there's aware. Only one step. I don't know.
Oh, good times. Yes, yours is definitely funnier.
All right, so let's hit it up hard, the episode 29.
Boy, let's try to get this topic. This is actually a little more confusing than I'd like it to be.
Well, let's just skip it.
Skip it. Yeah, forget it, guys. No, you know what?
We've talked about Flash for what, 3 weeks now, 4 weeks, 11 weeks, 17 weeks?
actually a lot of weeks. It's been like half of the show now with the pop-up flash and now the external flash. But this week we want to finish off the on-camera flash and talk a little bit about shooting manual and what happens and how to shoot full manual.
Okay, which, again, I don't do, so I'm going to be learning here as well, I believe.
All right. So last week we talked about shooting your camera in manual, but still letting your flash do the auto, what have you.
That's what I do.
Okay, exactly. So when we're shooting actual full manual, it becomes a little different. Now, a lot of the ideas are the same. And something I think you hinted at, we didn't really get into last show, is when you're shooting flash, what is the one major, I would say, challenge that can pop up, especially when you're shooting outside?
Well, that it only goes to 1/200th of a second, or in some cases 1/250th of a second.
Correct. Now, what Adam means by that is that there's all your camera, in terms of shutter speed, and the flash working together, can only work so fast. Meaning you can shoot at 1/60th of a second, no problem. Flash works. You can go higher, 1/125th. But at a certain point, because of the physics behind what's happening in your camera, because of the shutter curtains, and I explained this on a video, which I'm not, so I won't re-explain this part of it. So we'll put a link up to the video on YouTube, and you can have a look at what I'm talking about. But your camera can only shoot so fast and still use the flash. And Adam's right. It's oftentimes, depending on your camera, it's 1/200th of a second. Some cameras can do it a little faster, like my 40D will do 1/250th of a second. And there's a couple Nikon cameras, cheapy Nikons too, that'll do 1/500th of a second, and that is awesome. But that's just something to keep in mind when you're going to be shooting manual. Inside, it doesn't usually matter, because you're not shooting at that 1/200th of a second anyways. You're probably shooting at, 1/60th or 1/100th, 1/125th or whatever.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter. You're fine. So first thing you're going to want to do is find out your camera's maximum sync speed. Now, the good news is if you're shooting on ETTL or shooting at all with a dedicated flash, that means a Canon flash on a Canon camera or Nikon, etc., it's smart enough to know what your maximum sync speed is.
Yeah.
And it won't let you go above it. Otherwise, what you end up getting is black bars in your picture. That's the result. Nothing really bad happens. Your camera doesn't melt. They don't come and take it away from you. Nothing like that. You just get bad pictures.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes that happens too, just with if you have it set improperly, like what'll happen is, let's say you're outside and you've got the aperture, you're shooting in AV mode, for example, mm-hmm. and you've got the aperture set at 2.5 on a sunny day, the shutter speed is at 1/2000th of a second. All of a sudden, it'll just downgrade that shutter speed to 1/200th of a second, and all of a sudden you've got way too much light, and you just get a super overexposed picture. So I've had that happen before, where I just not thinking.
Yep. That can happen. And that's where it gets confusing, and all of a sudden you don't know what you did, and you're going to sit there and just mash your thumbs around your camera while your kids are, inventing new kinds of playing right in front of you.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. I mean, that always happens right when they do something awesome.
Yeah.
And then you can never get them to do it again. So that's my favorite.
Did you just do a backflip off the monkey bars? Yeah. One time, Dad. Now get me some ice cream. Yeah, that's what happens.
Yes.
And so that's something to be aware of. It's that's one of the limitations. I almost said limitations.
No, not I like a word. That better.
I know. I was just thinking that could be a new word. But that's something to think about. So when you're setting, when you're going to go out there and set your manual exposure, That's a major, major limit to shooting with a flash. So, first of all, how does it work? I mean, how does that's such an open-ended question. Let's do a quick recap on the idea of two different exposures and how that's going to relate to our flash.
Okay, why don't you do that?
So why don't you do that quickly? So what we discussed last episode is the concept of making two exposures in one. When we're shooting with a flash, we're making an exposure for the ambient light, and then we're adding the flash exposure. So when we make our manual exposure, we're going to, you know, keep the shutter speed at 1/200th of a second and set the corresponding aperture and ISO to make our exposure that right. we like.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So if it is, if the exposure ends up being F4 at 1/1000th of a second because we're outside, well, that's not going to work. So we're going to have to scale that back and make that, oh, geez, I can't count the clicks.
F8?
Yeah, something, no, more than that. F11, it'll probably be F11.
Okay.
F8-11 split, if I'm being perfectly honest. It doesn't matter. Someone do the math and call me a jerk. I don't care.
Okay.
Point being is now you now have to shift and make an adjustment to make it 1/200th of a second at say F11, and it's going to be the same ambient light coming in, but it, obviously other parameters will have changed, and then we add our flash. Is that A, understandable, and B, helpful?
I think so.
Okay, let's talk about how aperture relates to flash exposure, because this is the big one.
Okay.
This is the big, everyone says that the sort of the common phrase is that aperture controls your flash and shutter speed controls your ambient light.
Okay, and I didn't know that.
That is almost accurate. In fact, it's accurate enough for our purposes to just call it, okay, it's accurate.
Okay.
Shutter speed, as long as you're under your maximum sync speed, shutter speed has zero effect on your flash.
Right, and we had done a previous kind of like challenge to that effect, right?
Right. Because your flash is occurring in such a short amount of time, the fact that it is less than 1/200th of a second doesn't matter. So you can shoot at 1 second or 1/200th. It's the same amount of flash coming in.
Okay.
So what ends up happening, your shutter speed, therefore, really only controls how much ambient light you let in.
Okay.
So if you shoot the same shot at 1 second as you do at 1/200th, obviously you're going to have a lot less ambient light.
Right.
Now, the converse is true. Is the main thing that controls how much flash you need is your aperture. Now, ISO plays into effect here. ISO is a big part of that as well, but that's also a big part of your ambient exposure. So ISO is kind of your exposure in general.
Right.
But aperture is the big one to deal with. So let's say we have like if you have a wide open aperture, something at an f/2.8, you don't need as much flash as if you have something at like an F11 or an F16.
Makes sense.
At F16, you need an awful lot of light to be pumping out to fill up that exposure.
Right.
Which is kind of the problem when you're going shooting outside at 1/200th of a second and F11, all of a sudden you need a lot of flash to play. But we'll get to that another time. For now, we're just talking about making our own manual exposures.
Okay.
So let's say you have a nice well, first of all, any questions about that?
I don't think so.
Okay, so let's say you have a nice even setting. Maybe you're shooting in the evening outside. Nice even lighting, nothing too crazy, nothing changing. And you decide you're going to shoot full manual. So you set your flash onto whatever setting. We'll talk about settings later, but you set it to a nice constant output.
Okay.
Instead of doing the ETTL where it shoots the test flash and then actually adjusts itself, all it does is it flashes once how much light you tell it. So you have that set up. You have you have something you're shooting at an F4. I'm trying to get a good setting here. You're shooting at F4 at 1/100th of a second.
Okay.
And you decide, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to click it open. I'm going to go open a little bit to f2.8. And then the corresponding shutter speed, what would end up happening? If you open the aperture, what's going to have to happen to the shutter speed to keep a constant exposure with your ambient light? You have to
get faster.
There you go. So you take the one shot at f4, 1/100th. You take the same shot at f2.8, 1/100th, or 1/200th, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have the same ambient light.
Okay.
It's going to look identical. However, your flash, if it's on manual, it'll overexpose your image. You now have twice as much flash coming into your picture than you did at f4.
Really?
Really. So even though the ambient stays the same, you're now upping your flash. Now, assuming your flash was properly exposed at f4, it's now going to be overexposed. But maybe it was underexposed and now it's proper.
Right.
Point being is twice as much flash is going to register now that you have the aperture open.
Okay.
Do you see where this might come in handy?
No.
No, don't be overwhelmed because, or actually do be overwhelmed, but don't be upset about it because it is really confusing. It's the kind of thing that you're going to have to go out and actually fail at for quite a while until you get a handle on it. Because first of all, you need to have a really solid grip on the exposure triangle of ISO, aperture, and shutter speed. It has to really be like rote memory or muscle memory, I guess, at this point.
Yeah.
About what to do and how to shift that exposure. Now, we'll actually talk about clicks, a little click method that you can use another time. But you need to know that you're going to get the same exposure at 1/200th to 8 as you would at f4, 1/100th.
Okay.
Yeah. That has to just be quick.
Okay.
And then you can add the flash in. So, for instance, let's say you are outside and you got your flash set up and it's not enough flash. It's not lighting up your subject. That's when you would decide, okay, I'll open up the aperture and change the shutter speed in order to use more of my flash.
Makes sense. It does.
It does make sense, and it's kind of a little bit, I would say, how would you describe it? Like, you need to go out and actually put it to the test.
Yeah, and I probably, in that scenario, would just change the flash exposure compensation.
But now you're not using, that's another good point, you're not using flash exposure compensation anymore.
Right. No, I realize that. I'm just saying that's how I would deal with the same challenge that you're speaking of when this comes in handy. Like that, my method would just be, adjust the flash exposure compensation, and I've been, generally speaking, happy with the results, right?
Right.
But I don't have anything to compare it to.
Let's go in. No, that's exactly right. That's what you have been doing. But now that we're going to shoot full manual, how do we adjust the flash output?
I don't know.
The flash output, I mean, we always talk in photography, we talk in terms of stops. It really, that the flash does the same, except it makes it a little easier for you. It talks in terms of output. Now, you have your full output, or 1/1. And then most speed lights, like yours, you have the 430.
Yep.
You can then dial in how much flash you want to use. Maybe you don't want to use a full flash, and you probably don't. You want to use maybe a half. So you can dial it down. And oftentimes, and I believe it's the same with your flash, is that you can go a half and then 1/2 minus a third, minus 2/3, and then 1/4 power. And you can do it in basically a third of a stop, all the way down to probably 1/64th power.
Right. No, I think that's exactly what it goes to.
My 580 goes down to 1/128th. And my two Nikon ones do 1/64. And so that's basically, you're telling it how much flash output you want to use. So in that case, if you need more, if you're shooting at 1/8 and you're not getting enough flash, yeah, sure, you can just add it and shoot it at 1/4. if you're already shooting at one, well, you can't go any higher. So then you're going to have to open up your aperture.
Great. I mean, it makes sense.
Now, and then, is there any other reason you can think of that you don't want to shoot at full power?
Other than overexposing?
Well, I mean, you could then expose for it. You could then dial in your aperture to compensate for that full power.
Right.
You could tell, okay, let's say you're going to get your exposure at full flash power. You're going to get a good exposure at F11. But maybe you don't want to use full power. Can you think of any reason why that would be?
No.
It eats your batteries like crazy.
Oh, okay.
It takes a lot of power to run that flash. So if you're shooting at 1/32, not only does it use very little power, your flash recharges very quickly. So give that a try, actually. That's something you can try out right real simple and not worry about your exposures. Is put your flash on the camera, set it to 1/64, and just start snapping pictures. Boom, 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 boom. And your flash is going to keep up, no problem. If you do that at full power, it's not going to do that. You'll take one, and you're going to have to wait for a second for it to charge up.
Right.
And eventually, you can melt your flash. The good news is the flashes are smart enough to know that, and they will just actually shut down and cool down in the meantime.
Right, yeah.
So that, yeah, when would you use manual flash?
I guess when you weren't happy with what you were getting on ETTL.
Yeah, I mean, it's all, you know, we're always striving to get more control over our picture taking process. And so for me, when I use manual flash, on camera manual flash, when I use off camera, which we're going to probably talk about one day, how to get your flash off the camera. When I do that, it's always manual. When on camera, it's oftentimes I use ETTL, but sometimes I don't. And that's when conditions are constant. If I'm in a situation where the light is not changing, where my subject isn't moving around, where I'm not moving around, where basically the distance between me and my subject is staying the same, or me and the wall that I'm bouncing the light off of, if that's all staying constant, I'm going to use manual flash.
And how come?
You're going to get consistent output between shots every time. It's going to look the same. Whereas ETTL is going to take a slightly different reading every time, and you're going to get good results. But in terms of repeatability, that's going to be very difficult.
Okay.
So that's a situation where I would use manual flash when I want to control everything. And one last note, I think we mentioned it earlier. I don't know if I did. How does ISO affect your flash?
I guess because it has to do with the sensitivity of the light. You know, you have a lower ISO, then ultimately it's going to be, the flash is going to have less of an impact on it, I'm guessing.
Right. It's just like your ambient light.
Yeah, and vice versa. Obviously, higher ISO, and the more the flash is going to, influence the exposure.
Right. And so, I mean, ultimately, when I'm outside and I'm going to be shooting in daylight, I'm going to set the ISO as low as I can in order to get the shutter speed. Also, to get the shutter speed, and let's start that again. I'm going to set the ISO as low as I can, the shutter speed as high as I can, which is 1/200th of a second, just so I can get the aperture as open as humanly possible.
Right.
So if I now ramp up the ISO to 800, I'm going to have to set the aperture, the corresponding value, and now I'm going to need, now I'm just really stopping down.
Right.
Yeah. So that's how I shoot.
Okay.
That's great. Once we learn how to bounce our flash properly, which I don't know if we ever actually talked about the proper way to do that, and if you have any technique suggestions, quickly, fire away.
I usually just aim it away from the person or the subject, I guess.
Yep.
And try to hit a white surface, so And oftentimes, I think we talked about the fact that often the roof or ceiling is a good place to bounce it, and often is white. But I try to find a neutral color to bounce it off of, and other than that, like yeah, I try to direct it away from my subject so it hits them at you know interesting angles. And we did talk about the little black foamy trick so that you got more of a directional lighting effect because you were saying that there's certainly a degree of spill light that will still end up hitting your subject in the regular situations where you don't have your flash kind of flagged. Mm-hmm. And other than that, I don't know. Is there anything more to it?
Well, the default, the first thing that people do, and the first thing I definitely did when I got a nice flash that I could angle, it was bounce off the ceiling. Everyone does. That's their first instinct is fire it off the ceiling, and there's nothing really wrong with it in a pinch. But it's my last choice because of the way the light comes down and kind of will. It still can create these little circles under people's eyes.
Okay.
Much better than popping the flash right directly in their face. But if I have a wall to bounce off of, I will do that. And then worst case scenario, I will bounce off the ceiling and. Oh well, that's life. But yeah, have a look for some walls first, and definitely use the black foamy thing.
And you don't care about the fact that in most cases that wall is going to be a different color.
I try for white. You're right. I try to. If I mean, it comes down to what would I rather have it? Would I rather have it bounce off an orange wall or a white ceiling? It depends. In certain cases, I might rather have it bounce off the orange wall and try to correct for the color, the white balance later.
Yeah.
But perhaps I would just prefer to have it bounce off the ceiling and put up with a little bit of circles under the eyes. Like a little bit of shadows will show up because of the direction of the light. Maybe I don't mind. So that's going to be kind of, you know, something that you have to develop yourself, a feeling you develop yourself, but... All I'm saying is look for walls first or wall ceiling combinations. That's kind of my favorite.
Yeah, I agree.
Sort of a three quarter and you get that nice kind of swath of light coming back. So what's the next step? I mean, once you master this, because you're going to have a lot of trial and error ahead of you. To get manual flash, at least I was speaking in terms of what I did. I had a lot of trial and error in order to get comfortable with manual flash.
I think I'm quite a bit more intelligent than you are, so I'm anticipating it to go pretty smoothly.
Yes, in fact, you've already done.
I just did it in the last 7 minutes while you were talking.
I was messing around with it during the podcast.
I've actually perfected it now. So.
Awesome. Well, once you grasp those concepts of how the flash works and how it fills up aperture and how everything relates to one another, the next step is to get the flash off of the camera.
Right.
And that's, to me, that was such a giant leap forward in order to be able to shoot kind of the strobist stuff off camera and start adding flashes. Because at first I bought one, or I had my one flash, but I bought the remote for it. And started shooting with one light and was just spent so much trial and error time on that and loving it. Loving the results and hating the results too. And once I got comfortable with that, that was it. I started looking for used older flashes that I could just keep adding in. So now I shoot with three of them. And for me to set up and shoot with three different lights all in one shot doesn't take as long as it used to.
Right.
So that's the ultimate goal, is to get your lights off the camera.
I look forward to it, and I do anticipate doing it. I think I'm going to probably in the near future invest in some of this off-camera lighting equipment.
Well, the price has come down so much that it's kind of silly not to.
Do they make it childproof? Do they make the stands and the lights unbreakable?
You know what? The best advice I can give you in that situation is buy a sandbag.
Right.
I've run into that, and not with kids, with adults who have walked into my giant umbrella And I actually had sandbags on them for that reason. But it happens. People walk into it, they knock it over, or you're outside. This one I learned the hard way. I don't know why I didn't think of it. You got your umbrella set up outside, and the wind comes up, and next thing you know, you have a sail. Except your 580 flash is attached to that sail.
That's quite a picture right there. You just painted a word picture.
Yes. So I learned rapidly that, okay, first of all, if you don't have a sandbag with you, your camera bag will do. So your camera bag over one of the legs of the light stand, it'll work in a pinch. Of course, if the wind really comes up, you'll smash your flash and flip your camera bag over. So that's negative.
Make sure to have your most expensive lenses in it, weighing the umbrella down.
Yeah, that's the full combo. But no, I highly recommend owning a couple of sandbags, especially if you're around the house and you don't have to carry them too far.
Right.
Like if you have to carry, you're not going to carry them around all day. You're only going to use them when you're going specifically for a photo shoot. But they are invaluable. Best insurance you can get.
All right. I'll keep it in mind.
So, yeah. Next week's photo challenge.
Photo challenge time.
What do you got for me?
You've been doing most of the legwork the last, 28 weeks. coming up with a photo challenge. So I'm going to throw one in this week.
Okay.
Well, just thinking that, we did a magazine. Maybe this is a bit of a ripoff, but how about a postcard?
No.
Okay, that's a terrible idea. Anyway, sorry.
I love that idea. I think I've used that joke on you before.
Probably.
I'm going to cut that
I think you've
out.
Used it almost every week.
Pretty much every. just off the show, too. No. Love it. Love the postcard.
And I guess no real. Do you have any stipulations? Anything that, makes it more episode appropriate?
Well, my instinct was to go to something sort of landscape or architectural kind of thing. That's what I'm thinking. But now that you mentioned that, there's always these kind of funny postcards that you can make, that you can buy.
Picture of your butt.
Well, I'm not doing that. That's not so much funny as it is awesome, but and creepy at this point. Thanks for making it creepy.
All right.
I don't think I'm going to do a funny one, Basically along the lines of my parents went to Maui and all I got was this crappy t-shirt.
Yeah.
But in postcard form. But I'm not doing that. So I'm going to do something. I have my shot in mind because there is one picture in Tubingen that is the definitive, this is Tubingen picture.
And that's what you're going to take.
I might. Oh, well, when you put it like that, no, I'm going to do something else.
Okay.
Because now you're just, I'm just going to copy everybody else what you're saying.
Right.
You're just going to phone it in, Al. That's what you're doing?
I'm going to take a picture of something awesome.
Now, I assume you're going to take a picture of something sort of touristy in Steveston.
Maybe.
If you do, has summer shown up yet?
We had a weekend last weekend. That was extremely nice, and that was it. This week has been all kind of overcast and, not hot.
That's what we got here. You say
overcast?
Yep. Overcast and rain. So that's what the Tubingen shot's going to be. But you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and make a postcard shot.
Okay.
I'm into it.
Let's do it.
Okay. Next week's topic. I want to quickly mention what we're going to tease for next week.
Okay.
Next week's topic, now that we got Flash pretty much wrapped up after 19 consecutive episodes.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about Adam and I's, our own personal 5 bad habits.
Okay.
That we either still do or have recently overcome.
What if I don't have any bad habits because I'm awesome?
Yeah. Yeah, we're not going to have to what if that because I could pick out 5. Just in the last 60 seconds.
Okay.
Most of them are attitude related.
Okay.
No, it's stuff that you think that you think is a bad habit. Because I'm interested to know. I have a few that I've overcome, or try to overcome. You still kind of fall into them sometime. That's why they're called bad habits, because they die hard. There's still things that I do, and I'm guessing you're the same. That there's some things that maybe you're not aware of.
I think there's probably some of that too. Yeah,
we're also gonna pick one for each other.
Okay.
And spring it on. So that there's that. So anybody, any listeners who...
Oh, I've got one for you now. Does it have to be photography related?
Poker related.
You have a bad habit of mouthing off at parties.
I think that's a good habit. I will submit that if it was a bad habit, I wouldn't get invited back.
Right. Some people just, bad habit could have. Some people just like to see like a train wreck too, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I have no problem. Not only do I like seeing a train wreck, I like wrecking the train. Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, we could all sit around and just drink, pop and talk about good times, or we could have Alan come in and tell you all your faults.
Which is kind of fun until it's you that's
being... Well, that's next week's episode. Okay. We'll discuss all your faults. Yeah. I don't like when you raise under the gun. What?
All right.
Yeah, that's what I don't like. So we invite listeners who are keeping up with the show to, if they would like to submit their own personal bad habits, we'll talk about them on the show. Maybe we'll make fun of them on the show too.
Perfect.
Instead of just each other.
Deflect a little bit.
Just deflect. Great, great idea. So until then, where can people find your pictures?
My wife's blog, schwartzchronicles.com.
And I encourage people to go check that out too. I love your camping pics.
All right, yeah, people should check those out. They're up there now, and took a couple of pictures of Jack playing hockey the other day outside, so those should be there as well.
Great.
And what about your stuff?
As usual, alanattridge.com, and you can find both of us at twohosers.com. We're twohosers on Twitter. We have the Flickr account, which you can access from our twohosers site, and other than that, I wanted to mention out there, if there's something about the show that you don't like, go ahead and tell us. Feel free. If there's something about the show that you do like, tell a couple friends.
Right. He doesn't really mean that you should tell us if you don't like something, because we don't really care. We're not going to change anything.
No, I actually want them to. I kind of want to get that. You're right. I'm not going to change anything. I just,
You just like the feedback.
Yeah.
Okay.
It really was just, I was trying to segue into tell your friends. Tell your friends about show. It's free.
See, that's what I thought. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, but don't let them look behind the curtain, Adam.
Okay, sorry about that.
When I work very hard all week on a segue, and then you just throw water on it. Awesome.
That's what I'm here for.
Yep. Wonderful.
All right.
So, yeah, go ahead and tell some friends that Adam. Anyways, all right, until next week, go out and make better photos.